Today, the UK government is publishing the most comprehensive and definitive study of how independence would affect Scotland's finances over the next 20 years. I look forward to answering all of your questions, but first I'd like to say a few words to set out this analysis, because on the 18th of September, we in Scotland will face the most important vote in our nation's history, whether or not to remain part of the United Kingdom. It's a momentous decision, and in my mind there is no doubt. By staying together, the Scottish and UK economies can continue to grow and prosper. As a nation, we can continue to make the choices needed to live within our means and grow our economy. But I know that many people are still undecided. And the single biggest question in their minds is, will we be better off together? So today, I can answer, yes, we will be better off, because there will be a huge benefit to staying in the United Kingdom. You could think of it as the UK dividend, or 1,400 reasons why we are better off together. So what is the UK dividend? There is a detailed explanation in the document that we're publishing today that you have before you, this document here, Fiscal Policy and Sustainability. Five key building blocks underpin our analysis. There is little dispute about each of those building blocks, because they are all based on reasonable and responsible assumptions, and all five are seen by independent organisations as significant factors in Scotland's future. And together they tell a powerful story. The first building block is about what you might call Scotland's financial starting point. Because should Scotland become independent, it would start off in life in a worse financial position than the UK. That's the view of the Institute for Fiscal Studies, the Centre for Public Policy for Regions, Citigroup, and many others. Even the Scottish Government's own figures show that Scotland would face a shortfall between what the government gets in tax and what it spends on public services. So a separate country would be running a bigger deficit than the UK from day one. Indeed, independent forecasters show that in 2016, Scotland would be borrowing over 5% of national income. That is double the deficit of the United Kingdom. And the difference equates to around £5.5 billion from day one. But that's just the starting point. The second building block covers the direct costs of setting up a new state. For example, as an independent country, Scotland would need to set up new institutions, a new passport office, a new benefits agency, a new tax collection authority. That last one alone, as ICAS set out last week, would cost £750 million. I listened to John Swinney on the radio this morning, refusing 11 times to set out what they thought the costs would be. It's funny that, because in the memo that John Swinney sent to his cabinet colleagues that was leaked last year, he was much more explicit. Undoubtedly, there will be a cost associated with setting up and running the necessary institutions, and in some cases, these are likely to be significant, he said. And he went on, annual costs of tax administration, the cost of setting up tax administration in Scotland, will on this basis be expected to lie in the region of between £575 and £625 million. So we've taken the best independent estimates, which put the cost of transition at up to 1% of GDP. For Scotland, that figure would be £1.5 billion. At the same time, as a separate country, Scotland would have to pay higher interest rates to borrow in financial markets. A whole range of experts, from the National Institute to Deutsche Bank, calculate that under independence, interest rates are likely to be around 1% higher. And that's worth £500 million per year in additional debt interest costs. The third of our five building blocks is the cost of the Scottish Government's promises. They've set out their policies in the recent white paper, but not the costs. So we've looked through the fine print, put it through the Treasury's models, using tried and tested methods, and calculated that the Scottish Government's new policies would cost at least £1.6 billion every year. The fourth factor is the future of oil and gas production. It is an indisputable fact that North Sea oil production has been declining for many years. The Independent Office for Budget Responsibility has made an impartial assessment of this. They estimate that oil and gas revenues will fall by around 95% as a share of our economy over the next 20 years. And the fifth factor affecting the future finances of Scotland is our more rapidly aging population. This is the well-established view of the UK Statistics Authority, the Institute for Fiscal Studies, the International Longevity Centre, and many others. As Gordon Brown explained last month, the number of Scottish pensioners will rise from 1 million to 1.3 million over the next 20 years. It means a shrinking number of working age people would have to pay for a growing number of old age pensioners. So an independent Scotland would have to spend more to deliver the same services as now. So where does that all leave us? A worse starting point, the cost of setting up a new state, unfunded policies, declining oil revenues, and an ageing population. All of that easily avoided by staying within the UK. It's worth £1,400 for each person in Scotland each year for the next 20 years. That's the UK dividend. And the further ahead you look, the more the pressures build. That dividend is our share of a more prosperous future. It's the money that will pay for better public services and a fairer society. Money for teachers in classrooms, for nurses and midwives. To put that £1,400 per person in context, on aggregate, it represents 11% of Scotland's total public expenditure. That's equivalent to around two-thirds of the total NHS budget in Scotland. It's almost as much as Scotland's whole education budget. So what does £1,400 mean to you and me? Well, £1,400, for example, is more than enough to pay for a year of free school meals for three children. £1,400 pays for 10 weeks of someone's basic state pension. Alternatively, instead of cutting public services to fill the gap, as a separate country, the Scottish Government could raise taxes instead. For example, today, the UK reaches what is known as Tax Freedom Day. It's the day in the year that is calculated when, on average, people stop giving their income to the government through tax and instead start keeping the money they've earned for the rest of the year. But as a separate country, each person in Scotland would have to hand over their income to the state for two more weeks. Another way an independent Scotland could offset the £1,400 UK dividend without cutting public spending is to increase the basic rate of tax from 20 to 28%, increase VAT from 20 to 26%, and increase duties on alcohol, tobacco, and fuel by about 40%. Now, of course, the nationalists will say we're wrong. They will continue to peddle myth after myth, saying that taxes wouldn't be higher, that there's loads of oil left, that public services won't suffer, that growth will be stronger, that breaking away won't be hugely expensive, that new institutions can be set up for free. All of those myths are refuted by the information we published today. And I'm very happy to answer questions on all of that. Because the big difference between our calculations and those of the SNP is that we're talking about Scotland's finances over the next 20 years. They're talking about what's happened over the past 5 years. We are focused on the future. They are stuck in the past. To conclude, today we've shown that by staying together, Scotland's future will be safer, with stronger finances and a more progressive society. Because as a United Kingdom, we can pool resources and share risks. It means a UK dividend of £1,400 a year for every man, woman, and child in Scotland. And if our history teaches us one lesson, it is this. Together, we achieve so much more than on our own. So let us look forward to a prosperous and fair Scotland, thanks to the dividend that comes from staying in the UK. And that's why, if you have your doubts, if deep down you feel that we're better together, today we give you 1,400 reasons why we're better off together too.